Time now for Western Michigan at Work. Each Tuesday evening at 6:30, the Fetzer Broadcasting Company brings you the story of one of the industries of Western Michigan and the people who work in it. Through these programs, we hope that our listeners may become better acquainted with Western Michigan at Work. This evening, we visit the Muir Drug Company. Here's your guide, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. 26 years ago, two brothers by the name of Muir got together $1,400 and started a drugstore in Lorain, Ohio. That was the beginning of an enterprise which today includes 32 stores in 30 cities, a drug manufacturing plant, two big photo finishing operations, and a big purchasing and sales organization, Muir's Cut-Rate Drugs. It's a good example of American enterprise in action, of making more goods available to more people at lower cost. There are three Muir brothers, Boyce, Bruce, and Kenneth. As the surname and the given names indicate, the family is Scotch, and maybe that explains why cut rates have always been the rule in their business. And it makes that thrifty Scotch, which is the Muir trademark, authentic. The father of the Muir brothers was a graduate of the pharmacy school of the University of Michigan in its early days. He operated a drugstore in Grand Rapids for many years. Then in 1910, he turned to drug manufacturing. But those sons of his did not go into business with him. All three of them had long careers in the United States Navy. Boyce, the eldest, was graduated from the Naval Academy at Annapolis in 1908, and he served in the Navy until the end of World War I in 1918. Bruce was in the Navy during World War I, and Kenneth was a naval officer from 1918 to 1926. Quite a seafaring family. When Boyce left the Navy, he started a business career as a bond salesman. Then he became associated with a firm of efficiency engineers, where he must have picked up many ideas which later proved useful in merchandising. Boyce had the itch to go into business for himself, but he wasn't sure what kind. He thought of baby goods, of hardware, and several other lines. Well, maybe it was the family tradition, but anyway, he finally settled on drugs. In the meantime, Bruce, his brother, caught some of the enthusiasm and left Annapolis to accept a job with the W.T. Grant Company in order to learn what he could about their merchandising methods. In 1922, the two brothers were raring to go, even though that $1,400 stake looked pretty small. They rented a store building in Lorain, Ohio for $125 a month, and then they set to work with a hammer and a saw to build their own store fixtures. That didn't leave much capital with which to buy a stock of goods. They had a promise of $700 worth of goods, but on the eve of their opening date, which was advertised in a terrific half-page ad in the local newspaper, these goods had not arrived. At that point, an old friend of the family named Matthews, who operated a store in Youngstown, appeared in the role of a guardian angel, took a carload of stock from his own store, and loaned it to the Muir brothers. Years later, when this same gentleman was on the verge of bankruptcy, he received one day a carload of stock from Muir's with the invoice mark paid in full, bread cast upon the waters. The first day's receipts at the Lorain store amounted to just $97, and for the first month, the average take was only $200 a week. But it gradually increased until the business became quite a going concern. Since then, progress has been steady, even during the Depression. Kenneth left the Navy in 1926 to join the organization, and Bruce has now retired from active participation. Store number two was opened in Elyria, Ohio. The Kalamazoo store, which was opened in 1928, was store number 12. Today, the company's 32 stores are located in four states, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and Wisconsin. An average of 10 people are employed in each of these stores, and around 200 folks work at the general offices and manufacturing plant in Grand Rapids. During the summer, which is the rush season for photo finishing, between 100 and 125 are employed in that department alone. Some idea of the size of Muir's business may be gained by noting that Muir's serve around 450,000 customers per week. They are second in sales throughout the United States of the product Tony. Muir's sell more Gerber baby food than any other drug firm in the nation. And they develop between 15 and 20 million prints a year in their photo plants. Well, that seems to be an appropriate place to introduce a veteran employee of Muir's, Miss Nellie Bogerman, star cosmetician in the Kalamazoo store. Miss Bogerman, how long have you worked for Muir?
6 years from last Thursday, to be exact.
Well, this is something in the nature of an anniversary, then. I suppose you sell a lot of cosmetics?
Yes, we must have easily 500 different toiletry items that we sell in quantity. That includes nationally known shampoos, creams, colognes, perfumes, as well as 6 complete beauty treatment lines. In the Kalamazoo store, our cosmetic business comprises 1/3 of our total volume.
I believe, Miss Bogerman, that Muir's provide incentives to sales by offering prizes to employees. And I'm told that you won some of these prizes. Tell us about it, will you?
Well, 1 year I won a week's all-expense trip along with 6 other sales girls to New Orleans. I just missed a trip to Hollywood and another to Havana, although I have won cash prizes on many chain-wide contests.
Well, congratulations. By the way, I hear you've just returned from a trip to Europe.
Yes, I spent 3 months in Europe, and while there, I visited quite a few cosmetic industries, including perfume and manicuring salons in Paris. Here I saw how the real French perfumes and creams were blended.
Well, that must have been a fine experience for you. Are you a native of Kalamazoo, Miss Bogerman?
Yes, I am.
Well, fine, and thank you for being on our program. What you've told us reminds me that I learned that from the start, the Muir brothers had some new and interesting ideas about merchandising. One was that cut-rate idea, which was new in 1922 in the drug business. This meant keeping overhead at the absolute minimum. And that fitted in with another Muir principle, open displays. You see, Muirs keep very few items behind glass. The goods are right out in the open where the customers can feel and examine them. That makes for easier selection by the customers. Muir's do not have any ornate glass cases in their stores. Attractive, serviceable counters and display racks, designed not for appearance, but as a means of easy accessibility, are made by Muir's own carpenters and cabinet makers in their Grand Rapids plant. Just another way that Muir's keep overhead down so that goods can be offered at less to customers. Another characteristic of the Muir organization is the open front door. Now, that was first tried out in store number 2 in Elyria. The Muirs discovered, more or less accidentally, that if they placed a big fan above the doorway, which would send a column of air down across the open space, they could keep the front door open even in sub-zero weather and still keep the store comfortably warm. You see, the shaft of air keeps out the cold in the winter, and it keeps out the flies in the summer, too. Of course, it makes it easier for the customer to get inside. Now, when I visited the Muir offices in Grand Rapids, I found that that same open door policy is applied to office operations. There isn't a single door in the whole office. It isn't just a matter of an open door, but there are no doors at all on any of the offices, even that of the head of the organization, Mr. Boyce K. Muir. I spent an interesting hour going through the Muir warehouse in Grand Rapids. This huge building is arranged very much like a Muir store. The merchandise is kept on shelves in large quantities, medicines, toiletries, and sundries. Each Saturday night, every store manager sends in his orders to the Muir offices. These orders are filled and shipped out by truck the first 3 days of the next week. The last 3 days are used to replenish the stocks and get ready for the next batch of orders. By the way, Muir's was one of the first drug stores to close on Sundays. The whole organization has Sunday off. In addition to regular drug products, Muir's sell many special items. For instance, they had roses flown in from Texas by plane and sold them for 69 cents a dozen. They sell potted plants in season. They have sold goldfish, complete with bowl, for 19 cents. A few years ago, the company got into the business of developing and printing snapshots, and today that's become a major part of the enterprise. Howard Stoll, who is one of the men in charge of this department in Grand Rapids, is in our Grand Rapids studio right now to tell us about Muir's photo finishing department. Mr. Stoll?
Thank you, Mr. Dunbar. Our photo department was first started in 1937 with one man and his wife employed. Today we have two photo plants employing upwards of 150 people during the busy summer months. This past summer we installed the very latest automatic photo printing equipment to speed production. One of these machines alone turns out 1,200 prints per hour, and we have 11 such machines. Each is electronically controlled, removing all the guesswork from printing and ensuring perfect prints. All negatives, regardless of their original size, are blown up to a large postal card size. In addition to our large volume of prints, we also turn out approximately 100,000 enlargements each year, including many in oil colors. We're quite proud of the fact that our Grand Rapids plant ranks as one of the 10 largest in the country, and we're steadily expanding to make it even larger.
Thank you, Mr. Stoll. Adjacent to the main offices and warehouse in Grand Rapids are Muir's laboratories and drug manufacturing plant. Here, more than 350 different drug and allied products are produced for Muir stores. I visited the plant a couple of days after the election, and I found them making and bottling aspirin tablets in a mad rate. I wondered if it was a coincidence. The laboratories are well supplied, and all raw materials as well as the finished products are carefully and accurately tested. I found several rather unique features about the Muir organization. One of these, the open door policy, I've already mentioned. Another is that purchasing and sales are not handled separately by different departments, as they are in most organizations of this size. There are four main departments: medicines, sundries, toiletries, candy, and tobacco. Now, the buyer in each of these departments also is the sales manager for the goods that he purchases. When he buys goods, he's got to think about how saleable they will be. It's part of his job. And once a week, the whole group gets together to tie up what they're doing and discuss new merchandising ideas as well as new products. It's quite a problem sometimes to figure out just what things will go over big with a customer. Recently, for instance, cream shampoos have been a very big success. And home permanent wave preparations, which first hit the market about 3 years ago, are today big business. Muir's are experimenting now with soda fountains to expand their service, and the newer stores are being built much larger. By the way, Muir's do plenty of advertising. About 2% of their income goes to that purpose. The cut-rate theme, exemplified by the thrifty Scott, is always emphasized. That's the story of a big business that started on a shoestring 26 years ago. A typical story of American business enterprise in action.
You've been hearing another in the series of programs on Western Michigan at Work, featuring this evening the story of the Muir Drug Company. Next Tuesday evening, we'll visit an important industry in Holland, the Holland Furnace Company. This has been another of the many programs presented in the public interest by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company.